still this evening. Yeah, and thank you, God, that he shares your word, not his own words. And we just come and humble ourselves this evening to hear what you want to say. We pray for your grace and humility over Vanna this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hello, everyone. How are you feeling tonight? Listen, we're going to have a jam-packed camp. It's going to be our biggest camp yet. We are just going to squash into that little churchy, but then we're going to start the worship in Nachonsi Daklach. Okay, that's what we're planning to do. And some of the Poch guys are coming to join us on camp. They want to just connect with us and see what we are doing and take some momentum back to their church. So it's really going to be cool. And if you've never been on camp, we keep the same kind of format. We finish with our sessions on lunch the Saturday. And the sessions is fun and interactive in any case, but we really want to impart something to you. But we want to use only Friday night up to lunch on Saturday. Then we want to just connect and we're going to do a foofy slide. Neil says there's no water in the dam. We're still going to foofy slide. I just don't know how, but... But I go to the camp because of the foofy slide. Who? The commitment, yeah. Awesome. Listen, if you were here the last few weeks and you are still here, I really want to commend you because we spoke through the fear of the Lord. And it's a very tough topic. It's not something that you actually should get on day one. So if you were a visitor the last month or two, you really... you know, you entered here while we were doing the hard gymming, okay, the deep spiritual work. So if you survived, you can give yourself a tap on the back. We are just committed at this church to give you a healthy diet from the pulpit, you know, and that means that sometimes we kind of know when there's a lot of visitors, like in the beginning of the year, we start off in a certain way, in a way that a visitor can maybe connect quicker and easier to the message. And then sometimes during the year, we really put the tough stuff on the table. We need both. Do you agree with me? And at the moment, we're just working through that. And Head Scratches was the name of our series. And we're finishing off tonight with this whole thing, should we judge? Who's heard this before? Would many judge me? Hands up. Okay. Who's heard this before? The Bible say, ye mag nie judge me. Okay, can we tonight together explore what the Bible says about this? I'm excited. It's like, you know, what's under the skin? Let's cut it open and let's see what's actually there. Amen? If you are here and you can write, I want to encourage you, get yourself a notebook, all right? Unless you're very smart and you can just sit and keep storing it in your head. But get yourself a notebook and work through it. Make a few points, make a few stars, pray about it during the week. Ask yourself, maybe some of you want to preach one day or teach something. Ask yourself, how would you have put that differently? You know, that kind of thing. So workshop yourself in church. Use the time, amen? Okay. I'm going to start with a bit of a lung dry. Okay, before I give us 3 points on this judging. Who studied art in high school or after school? Is it only my wife? Okay, so you think art, amazing. I'm going to go to the class and then I'm going to just paint. And then they give you a book like this. Kunstgeschiedenis. And then you study, baby. Then you open. Who's experienced that? Okay, now I'm going to do a bit of kunstgeschiedenis here tonight. Just hang on, I'm going to go with a dry, and then we're going to start the painting. Are you with me? Tik your mic and say your tanden geborsel. I had garlic pizza, so I hope nothing comes through the speakers, because then we'll all be on the ground. I quickly want to talk about this concept of love versus power. Because it actually sets the stage for this whole judging theme that we get in the Bible, and especially the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the judge was an obvious thing. They called the guys judges. There's even a book in the Bible called Judges. So it's very weird to say the Bible says you cannot judge, because there's even a Bible book, okay? And what was their job? To judge the people, okay? But so, okay, we've got the New Covenant talk, but what about the New Covenant? Well, let's exploit that today. We're in the New Covenant, yeah? And Jesus is speaking, New Testament, New Covenant, same thing. Okay? You can substitute those two words. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. What is that called? It's a great commandment, right? Just underneath you find what we call the Great Commission. Now go. And very specific instruction, go and make disciples of all the nations, that's including Sukuna, this place where you work, and you should get them to a place where they are being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the great commandment talks about the heart. Love God, love people. And it's also, we find that in Scripture first. You got that? Now go. Can you see the sequence? The Great Commission can never work without the Great Commandment. Without the Great Commandment, the love part, the Great Commission is a hammer that hurts people. Are you with me? All right. Now, what happened in the book of Acts, if you quickly go and read the first few chapters, is the disciples were greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. They were touched and inspired by the love of Christ. And the Bible said that something amazing happened there. The people connected heart to heart. No one lacked anything as they were sharing. So you could say, great commandment, well done. And God was adding to them daily. Thousands upon thousands came to Christ, gave their heart, laid their life down to follow Jesus because of this love wave that was breaking through the people, through the disciples. And then something happened 300 years after Christ. And it looked like something great, but it was actually something terrible. The Roman Empire, which persecuted Christians, which was actually responsible for putting Jesus on a cross, the same guys changed around and said, we want to be a Christian nation. Rome is going to be a Christian nation. I don't know what led them to that point. Probably the guys that was believers expounded amazing lives. They were probably taking care of people around them and their wives, and it looked good to them, and they said, we're going to be a Christian nation. But here's the thing. Where the apostles or the disciples leveraged love, God loves us, we want to love you and show you God's love, and people turn to Christ. The Roman Empire leveraged something else. Power. You will be a Christian. That's what they said. If you live under this government, yes, a Christian, yes, and you will be baptized. And so what did they do? They baptized everyone, including babies. And back then, under the water, boom. Because we will look like a Christian nation. But here's the thing that we're going to pick up. Whenever anything is leveraged, anything other than love, we get into trouble. The Great Commission, guys, I'm coming to Christ and you must follow him. He loves you. It can only happen from a place of divine love that the Holy Spirit brings upon the one who shares. If ever it gets forced, you get trouble. And that's what happened. And so we entered the dark ages, a time where the Bible actually went extinct almost. An elect few could read the Bible because it was written in a language that only the rich people could understand. It was a terrible time until Martin Luther came along and broke open grace again for us. And it started with this thing, you will be a Christian. Are you with me? Power versus love. Let me tell you quickly a story. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't lose me. What happened in 1948 in this country? Hendrik? Apartheid got launched, got legalized. Segregation between races was there. It was imminent even before that, even for longer than 100 years. 1948, legalized. And the church of this country stood behind the decision. And what did they leverage? Help me. What are the leverage? Power. We will separate the people and we will preach that gospel. And with power, God's house sinned against this nation. Guys, I'm being honest, okay? Any church can repent. We may have made mistakes, and in big parts of the country, the church has turned back to God. It's just a fact. I can't talk it as if it's a good thing. Are you with me? Church leverage power. But here's the key thing. If you act in a certain way towards outsiders, it's only going to take so long before you're going to act that way to the people around you, because you become who you are. Are you with me? And so as we neared this time of 1994, it was a very difficult time in our churches. Want jy sal kerk toe gaan. You will sit still. You will not wear that shirt. It is Sunday. You will get up. Can you see the similarities? We will be a Christian nation. Back in the Roman Empire. And we did the same. And history tends to repeat itself. And so we must be awake in our congregation. Over church history, you can see this pattern going around, around, around. Whenever anything other than love is leveraged, we get this. And when someone opposes on you, come upon you with power, what do? You push back with resistance. Ek sal kerk toe gaan terwyl jy kyk, maar die dag as ek uit hierdie huis is ek weg. Am I talking the truth? I can't wait for the day when I go to university, because then I will go my own way. Are you with me? And so 1994 came. We became a free country. And you guys, most of you guys are called millennials. Do you know that? Kind of got born. You're in your 20s at this time. And the thing about the millennials is this. You will not tell us what to do. You know what I'm talking about? Actually, all of us. None of us likes to be forced into something. Stem jy saam my? Steek jou hand op as jy saam stem. This is what the millennials say. Jy sê nie vir my nie. Okay? There was a time back when the 17, 18 years old lined up for army. You tell the guy do this, he does it. That the days are over. Try and do church that way, we will sink the Titanic again. And so what happened is there's a cry that came out of this nation and all across the world as people realized that I have a decision, and this was the cry. Do not judge me. Do not tell me what to do. And there's a scripture for that. Matthew 7 verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Hashtag Jesus. Okay. By the way, you will find a scripture for any point you want to make if you take it at an isolation. But it's a cry of freedom, and there's something within this cry that seems like it's right. And I hear that. Okay, I hear that. I felt this as well. So I know where this is coming from. As soon as there was freedom, we scattered out of the walls of the church. And we stood from afar, almost measuring, should we go back or should we not? And so a power-driven religion will always push people away. I feel judged. I feel in bondage. But here's the key about the people our age. And people have stated it over and over. And I want you to nod your head if you agree with me. There's one thing that draws us. Even if we want to resist it, it draws us closer. And this is it. Real relationship. Stem jy saam, skud jou kop. If you can be real with me, you can make so many mistakes. But just be honest with me. Just look me in the eye, and moet my nie 'n wollaar storie verkoop nie. Look me in the eye and tell me the truth. And whenever this kind of generation is moved upon with power, we react. Do not judge me. And so what happens is a lot of us got hurt because jy moet voorgestel word. But in my heart, I'm not being real about this thing, man. And so we get hurt. And so what I want to do is I want to navigate around this thing, because there's merit in what we are crying out, do not judge us. There's merit in it. But we're going to have to go and look at what the Bible says, because what history always says is we swing from one end to the other. But what is God saying here? The problem is when emotions run high, especially within a generation with one voice, words start to lose their meaning and definitions get blurred. Let me show you an example. Oh, no, it's not on the screen. Cool. Okay. No one knows what cool is anymore. What is cool? It can mean you're hot. You know what I'm saying? Break a leg. If you heard that. You know, like back then, someone will hit you if you tell them break a leg. Today, apparently, it means have a great time. You know, and that's what happens. So let's just go back and see what Scripture says. And we're going to pick up speed here. Let me just say, the word judge, you can define it like this: to make a decision. We've put a massive aura around this word, but what it actually means is to make a decision about a situation. Are you with me? First Corinthians 5, this thing is on the map right here. Paul is going to take us through this. You're going to see some scary stuff here. Don't fall off your chair, just hang on. This puzzle is going to fit soon. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. He's writing to the church, by the way, okay? And a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant, and ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though I am absent in body, I am present in spirit. As if present, I have already pronounced judgment, there's that word, on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan, dude, that's harsh, for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Listen up. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world. That's the people outside the church, all right? Or the greedy and swindlers, idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Okay, that's a mouthful. We're just going to go back to verse 1 and just slowly step through this. Listen, Paul is writing to these guys. If we can just go to slide number 5, please. Yes. And he says there's a kind of sin in the church that even the people outside the church will go, ew, his mom. No one does that. Probably it wasn't his mother. Otherwise, Paul would say it was probably a wife that his father at some stage were married with, like an ex-wife or whatever. That's what people think. And he says this kind of thing is happening in the church. But I want to tell you, Corinth is just Vegas, okay? That place was rough. It was a place where people traveled through, and a lot of nationalities actually converged in Corinth. It was a place with all the, think of if there was any kind of religion out there that the stam gedoen het om 'n of 'n vuur of the Indians, whatever, it would all be in Corinth, because it's a place where people came together. It's a rough place. And now he's writing to the church that should shine a light in this difficult town. All right? And he says, this is not even tolerated among the pagans. All right? Are you with me? And he goes on and he says, for though absent in body, I am present in spirit, as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. There's that word. I have already pronounced judgment on this man. And so what we learn from Paul here is that there is a place for a man to judge, and there's a place for a man not to judge. Can I give you one example at this moment? In my house, who is responsible to make decisions? Me. I am to judge. Listen, my kid, my son is young. Maybe he comes with a horrible idea. I should come in as a decision maker, the judge of my home. Listen, Caleb, this thing's going to hurt you. No way. No way you're leaving school at standard 8 to tour to Brazil. Are you crazy? I say no. I've just acted as a judge. But if you walk into my house judging over my son, we're going to have trouble. Are you with me? Should you judge in my home? I can say, don't judge you. So I can say, don't judge you. It's not your place. I'm the judge here. I've got jurisdiction. In fact, I am appointed to be the decision maker in my home. So there's spheres of influence where you, even just on a, before we get to a spiritual level, where you are the decision maker. As jy 'n voorman is, you need to use your judgment. What are you being paid for? To sit around and look pretty? You're walking into a situation, you say no. What are you doing? You're making a judgment. But if I walk into the mine, okay, all hell will break loose if I must start to make decisions. Everyone will die the first day, okay? I'm just playing around with this word so long. And now I'm going to apply it to the church in a moment. And here's the golden key. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He's saying you must put this man out of the church. That sounds harsh. Are you with me? So that his spirit may be saved on the day when God comes back. And now, in verse 9, he says, I wrote to you my letter not to associate with sexually immoral. And here's the key. He says, I'm not talking about the people committing sins that is not in the church. Let's just go on to that slide number 10. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not inside the church whom you are to judge? Should we judge in this church? Yes. We'll talk about the heart in a moment. If I go and I apply Christianity on someone on the outside, what am I doing? I'm leveraging power. I want you to act like a believer. You haven't even met Jesus. I want you to look like a believer. I'm asking of you to be a hypocrite. And so what did we say? Do not judge us. All right? But when I've met Christ in my life, I come into this place and everything changed. Everything changed in my life. I lay my old life down. I go to my friend, and what do I tell him? Watch over my life. Because if there's one thing I want to be make sure of, is that I walk with my King Jesus all the days of my life. Help me to make decisions in my life. What am I saying? You may judge my actions. I've stepped into the inside of Christ's people. He's washed me. I want to stay with Christ. I do not want to fall away. Speak into my life. Why do we have small groups? So that you can talk with the man. Man, I've got a difficult decision. Help me make a good decision. A good judgment. I want to serve Jesus with my life. And I cannot do it on my own. I saw where it got me the last time. So please help me. Are you with me? The man on the outside, if I go and judge him on what he is doing, I'm helping him to be a hypocrite. What must I pray for that man on the outside? What must I pray for? Help me here. That he will meet Jesus. That's all. Listen, at the moment, that's where you are at your life. And let me tell you what, it's not good for you. Okay, it's not great. But what's important now is that you need to see that Jesus Christ loves you more than anything. What do we leverage? Love. He's calling you. Yeah, but do you know what I've done in my life? I've missed. Doesn't matter. He's calling you. And when you accept him with everything in your life, you will say, help me to become like him. Because Christ calls us to be disciples, which means people who follow after him. Are you with me? Does this make sense, people? And so when it comes to the outsiders, let me just say this again. There's a war in my heart, okay? Because I look at someone on the outside, maybe someone at the Raga, and they really messing up their lives. And sometimes I cry. I mean, I wish they will meet him like I've met him. But the worst thing I can do is try and change their behavior because it doesn't come from here. That'll be like say, jy moet voorgestel word, al wil jy nie. Stupid. But what if we can love him in that position? What if we can be a friend even while that person is messing up on the outside and give a hand? What if we do that? Lives will change in this place. I can't believe this. People are still loving me after all I've done. I want to walk like Christ. Now you must help me. Can you see the difference? There's a switch. And the words that Paul uses is insiders and outsiders. If you are a disciple of Jesus, if you know him, it is a command almost from Christ that you go to your brothers and you say, look over my life. You are saying, judge me. When I explained this to my one friend, he said, judge my clip art. Because he really wants to be like Christ. Really. Amen? Is there a place where we judge? For sure. Paul did it. If we don't stand up, check this out. Vies getrouwd. Let's make it. Bernard and Selma, waai gou so. A man comes into this church and he acts very inappropriately towards Selma. Up to a place of sexual harassment. Let's give the example. He calls himself a believer. He comes in, I love Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Facebook post, words. I'm in Shofar. What a great church. He approaches Bernard's wife in an absolute inappropriate way. The Bible says we must deal with that man. Because otherwise the word goes out that in our church, we allow that people mess with marriages. And that's a slap in Christ's face. If you are a man on the outside, I just want to say this as well. Civil law is something different. You're going to be judged by the country, puppy. Okay? And you're going to have to face your tronkstraf of what's coming your way. Okay? That's also from God. But if a man inside the church bearing the name, I'm a Christ follower, acts in an opposite way, he's got one chance to repent. Especially if it's something as serious as that. Listen, I don't know how we're going to handle it. I pray it never happens. But if that man turns his heart, we need to deal with it in some way and allow him to be restored. Forgiveness. It's going to be next level. But whenever someone turns to Christ, we restore him, even if it takes 10 years. Are you with me? We're dealing with someone on the inside. We need to deal with it very strongly. Are we together? We're talking about this thing. It's very difficult for me to do this tonight because it's a hot topic, but we must talk through this. And so here's what we do, guys. Believers in the house. I steal this from Andy Stanley. This is very good. You can be the smartest person at work. You can quote them this when they say something about judge, it sounds weird. The Bible does not tell us not to judge, it tells us who to judge. Are you with me? And I just want to say this. This is a place of repentant hearts. And what this means is you never have to be shy for your sin. If you come from a place, I really want to be free. We're talking about realness. Realness wins with our generation. And realness actually goes very well with the Gospels. Doesn't matter where you've walked. If you are real, I really want to sort this out. You'll never be pushed out. Are you with me? But a lot of us have been hurt in church. And maybe it's been forced on you in the past and it's really left like a bitter taste in your mouth. And I just really want to say sorry on behalf of whatever church. I really want to say sorry. If you have got hurt in a very deep sense, I ask that you not walk away from church. I ask that out of my heart. And I'm going to dig the hole deeper for myself right now. But I want to help you so long. We are going to disappoint you as well on top of it all. But there's one thing we're going to try and do, and that's be real with one another. Grace works both ways, right? Your leader should have grace with you. Small group leader should have patience with you. Have the same with him. Amen? He doesn't greet you two times because he's carrying something. Have grace with the man. He's only flesh and blood. Works both ways. So, the language issue. We're almost at our 3 points. We're going to finish early tonight. In our community, because the word judgment has been such a heavy and a bad connotation over the time. It's the same as the word religion. Okay, you've heard that, you know, no, we should not be religious, but the Bible says pure and undefiled religion is to visit orphans, etc., etc. But we've been so estranged to the word, we don't even want it. It's like a fluke word. And the same with this word, so we've distanced ourselves, and it's not bad. In our community, the word accountability has taken over the word judging. Can you see it's actually the same thing? I want to be open with you. You be open with me. Let's be real and let's talk with one another. It's the same thing, people. But this only works when two people both put their cards on the table. Speak into my life. I want to speak into your life. Oh, there's going to be tough conversations, but I know you back me. I know you back me, so I don't mind if you're honest with me. It's the same thing. Help me account for my abilities. Why do we judge? So that you don't go to waste. That's why. Why do we make decisions? So that you do not end up taking 10 talents, which is not talent, it's money, okay, in the parable, and end up with nothing because you squander your calling away. So quickly run with what you've got left in your hand and tell your friend, listen, I need to multiply what God has given me. I need to multiply it. Help me accountable. Judge over me. Amen? In that sense, it's not someone putting a judgment on you, you're going to hell. It's someone making a decision. My judgment is, that's a bad decision. My judgment is, you handled that very well. We just don't use those language, but it's very biblical. Judge over my journey. Help me. Can you see that believers use that language? But that cannot work with people on the outside that has not met Jesus. They can say, do not judge me. Because they haven't signed up for it. Amen. Number one, accountability is needed for growth. And you can substitute it, judgment. Is needed for growth. Good judgment in your walk with Christ is needed for growth. You are here. If you are a small group leader in this church or facilitator of some other sorts, it's because people around you have made good judgments into your life. You've taken it and you've changed. And you've grown. If you were on your own, you'd still be where you were a few years back. The reason, can we go to the next slide? Accountability is needed for growth. The reason we take it so well is because it comes with love. Leveraging love. And accountability, or this place where someone helps you to make a decision, whenever it comes within love, it is well received. And even, who's had this experience before where someone in church, like, your coffee drink, and you know, oh, you come out. You know, this is going to be a difficult conversation. And then they bring something hard to the table, and you're mad, and it's like you're prideful for a while, and then after the meeting, that evening you realize, you know what, that person, I actually just want to message this person and tell them how much I love them. With who's that happened before? A few of us has had those conversations. It's because there was accountability with love, judgment with love. And it even happened with me in my home when my dad sometimes gave me a spanking. An hour later, I just want to be on his lap. I just want to sit with him. When love is used, amazing things can happen. And so I want to say this to you guys. If you're a member here with us, a lot of you are new around here. For some of you, it's your first time. I want to say, guys, you are responsible for one another. I'm not responsible for this whole church. There's no way. How? You are responsible for the person sitting next to you. And you guys have no choice. You must have real relationship. Amen? We have to do it, guys. Here's that scripture we started with. This is going to help a lot of you. Judge not that you be not judged. This is Jesus speaking. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your... Oh, I did read that. No. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck in your brother's eyes. Now, when it started, he said, do not judge. You know why? Who's he speaking to? Help me. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And they were making a judgment. They made their own laws, ceremonial laws, had nothing to do with the Bible. And he spoke about it. And one of those laws was, you cannot do anything on the Shabbat, okay? And that was Jesus' favorite day for what? To heal people, okay? He made just a point of it. Oh, it's that day. Let me just get the sick and heal them before the Pharisees just to irritate these people. And they would say, this man cannot be of God. Hear their judgment. This man cannot be of God. He's working on the Sabbath. And at some stage, Jesus says, guys, are you allowed to do good on the Sabbath or not? The disciples walks, take heads of grain, rub it, blows off the shells and eat it. And they say, oh, look at them guys, casting judgment. And Christ says, do not judge. They did not sign up for what you signed up for. They did not sign up for 614 ceremonial laws. They signed up to follow me. You cannot judge them. I will judge them. Judge not. It's not in your home. It's got nothing to do with you. They're following me. They're accountable to me. Are you with me? This should help you a lot. These guys did not sign up for that. And then Christ tells you how to judge. He says, you hypocrite, verse 5. First take out the log out of your own eye. And then you go to your brother. And what do? You take the speck out of his eye. You tell him. Number two, when the person that ministers to you is also broken before God, accountability is experienced with love. How does it work? I'm broken before God this morning. I'm before Him. Lord, I'm messed up. I'm a mess. These things are running through my thoughts. I'm not focused, Lord. I don't feel like worshiping You. Please forgive me. Draw me near. What am I doing at that moment? Help me. What am I doing? I'm taking logs out of my eyes. I'm repenting so that I may see. Sin has clouded my judgment. I'm frustrated. I'm harsh with everyone. I feel on a knife's edge. There's stuff in my eyes, okay? In my ability to judge well. I'm emotional. Everything. And so I come before the Lord and I repent. I bring my heart. And what does He do? He lifts stuff from me. And now I can see. And yesterday I was very worked up with you, but now I go and I talk with you out of love. Because just this morning He forgave me. And now I can help you with what's in your eyes. And you know it. You know it. You sense what happened with me that morning. You taste the humility. And you hold your eye like this and you say, help me. Can you see? Believers judge one another, but it can only work if we leverage love. Not like the Romans, not what happened in this country, 1948. Never work. Love goes a long way, guys. Are you still with me? Does this make sense? And here Proverbs tells it to us long before Paul got it. He says, do not reprove a scoffer. It's over spot, a spotter, né? It's a scoffer. Do not reprove him. Do not correct him. Do not make a decision. Do not judge him. Do not try and help him with the stuff he's doing or not. The only thing you do is you pray that he will see Jesus. It's the only thing you do. Do not reprove him on his works, you could say, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. If you try and reprove or correct the scoffer or the man that does not know God at that time, what will he say? Do not judge me. The Bible says so. To which you say, the Bible doesn't tell us not to judge, but who to judge. And I should not judge you, sorry. Got it wrong there. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase learning. Can you put your life open to your friend? Believers, this is a question for you. Can you hold your eye to someone in this congregation and say, help me? If you can't, I'll tell you what. You cannot grow in wisdom beyond what you have now. The only way for you to grow in wisdom is to have the ability to have your eye exposed before your friend and say, speak into my life. And a part of the wisdom is just what you're going to learn in that process of submitting and trusting your life and whatever you feel proud about before this other person and humbling. Open your heart. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Isn't this amazing? Number three, in a safe place, wise believers submit themselves to godly judgment. And the last one, I use the word judgment on purpose because this thing needs to break, guys. I know the people in this church. I know love reigns here. I know we operate from a place of love. Do we make mistakes? Of course. But this is a safe place. So what do? You submit yourself to judgment. Before someone comes to you and tell you, you say, hey, I want to come to you. You help me. You meet them halfway. Don't wait until someone has to come to you. Meet them halfway and say, speak into my life. Because the Bible says, if I do that, I will only become wiser as I open my heart to you. There's only one thing that can be leveraged. Love. I'm saying this over and over. Probably if someone says to you, the Bible says I should judge and you should listen to me, love is not being leveraged. Okay? Love always invites into repentance. power wants to force you to repent, so you'll do it if you're scared of that person, but only while they're there. Only while they're there, and then you'll go back to your old ways. But love invites, and it includes patience, all right? Amen. Let's stand up tonight. I want us to read something together as a declaration. And if you can join us, that'll be so cool. I want you to quickly read through this. And if you feel that this is God speaking to you, that I'm not asking if it's easy or hard. I'm asking if it's God or not, okay? If it's God speaking to you, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me as we're going to prep ourselves or position ourselves for accountability, all right, that comes from love. Amen? And sometimes the Bible says, give yourself to the instruction of the elders, or give yourself to the instruction of your leaders. And the biblical language never meant that a leader should come and lord it over you and force you. It was always meant for you to come under that umbrella of leadership and submit yourself into mentorship or into discipleship. Make sense? Let's just take a minute. I want you to read that, and when we pray that, I want you to pray it out of your heart tonight. If you are here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, then obviously this is a very weird prayer for you to pray, so you don't have to. What I want to say before we pray this is that you are so welcome. If you want to walk a road with us, to come again and again and again until you understand what God is saying to you. Maybe you know you want to receive God tonight. Maybe you first want to check it out. Maybe you're not 100% sure. That's okay with us. Amen. You can come again. And you can come closer, one step by one step. But let me just say this. He loves you. And He only leverages love. So you'll want to come to Him. Amen. You'll want to come closer with a massive expectation. And when you're there, you will want to say this. It's on the screen. Help me, guys. But some of us must drop the shield because we're so used to saying, do not judge me. This has got nothing to do with you. This is my life. This is my whatever. You fill in the blank. No one will tell me what to do here. And we're so build up resistance that we actually have a shield where God wants to come in. And for some of us, it's even, you know God. You've given your heart to Him, but that shield is still there, so He wants to take you further, but it's so difficult. Drop the shield. Or at least, when you come in here, start by dropping your shield when you're in a safe place. No defense. No defense. Talk with me and work with me. Amen. Let's put our eyes on the screen, and you can pray with me. Father, I thank you. Let's go together. Father, I thank you for loving believers in our church. I pray for loving judgment in my life. I pray that the judgment will be filled with the gentle and powerful touch of the Holy Spirit, that I may walk more like my King Jesus. Instruct me in your ways, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, when we stand before you, we don't stand as individuals, we stand as us. We are not alone, Lord, and we give ourselves to your Holy Spirit, and we also give ourselves to one another for love, for care. I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to do something tonight. I wasn't meaning to do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and I want to ask you, while every eye is closed and believers are praying, this is a very difficult thing, but I want to tell you something. If there is a measure of unforgiveness in your life, it creates a hardness in your heart. And what happens is, it's not just a hardness for that specific person. It starts with that person, but then the hardness, it becomes a part of you. And it's difficult for you to connect to the left and to the right with other people that you actually want to connect with. And so I want to ask you tonight, if it doesn't matter how it happened, and we're not interested in the details, but if you want to ask God to soften your heart relationally again, to have this real relationship, I want you to put up your hand very high and say, I want that real relationship in my life. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Keep your hand up very high. I'm just going to ask my facilitators to reach a hand. There's a few hands over this place. If you want prayer, put your hand up. There's some hands on that side. Thank you, guys. And facilitators, you guys can just sum up what needs to happen. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's forgiveness. You just handle it as you see fit. Maybe you can just take a step away from the church just to create some distance. Okay. Has everyone reached? Otherwise, just put your hand up very high. I think everyone got someone. Okay, then I want to make another call. I'm doing this as a last call, because I think a lot of you guys are going to respond. If you are ready to say yes to real relationship, I want you to come to the front very quickly. Step out. Don't even hesitate. Just step out. Say, God, I'm putting my heart on the table for the real deal. Thank you, guys. Awesome. We have a great relationship here. Is anyone else? Only leveraging love tonight, so you shouldn't feel pushed. Awesome. Can we get some facilitators? Let's pray with these guys. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, we're going to just minister to these guys. I'm going to ask Warren just to sing us something for us. Can we just, the rest of us, just have a seat? And what I want you to do, I want to rush past this God moment. I want you to think for a moment and pray for the people around you. And I want you to ask God to show you whom to connect with in a very real way. Okay, so right now what you should think of before we finish off is there someone that cares for me at a deep level and that I can actually trust that person? And then I want you to pray and make a commitment that when tonight is over, you're going to get on the phone and talk with someone. Amen? Let's take a minute. Thank you. Thanks for coming tonight. Super awesome to have you guys here. If you are new here and you didn't get a card and you maybe want to get a welcome pack, you can fill your details in and I will give you a ring and we can have coffee or whatever. But for now, you guys are excused. We meet each other next week, maybe at the camp. Please have coffee and cool drink at the back. And talk to someone new. Amen.